one that hopefully will give you some encouragement as well as give you some direction in regards to our circumstances in life. And so when Ron sent me that text, these particular texts came to mind, not only because he had COVID, but because we, as a church, have gone through quite a bit. And so I don't know how you feel about disease and how you feel about death and how you feel about suffering, but I think I know how you feel about joy and blessings and happiness, eternal life, forgiveness. And you see, there's a balance in life, I feel, that I get from the scriptures, and that is there's the humanity side of us, and then there's the spiritual side of us. And there's the victory side of us, and there's the loss side of us. For you who are football fans, somebody has to win, somebody has to lose. For you who have lost loved ones, there's grief. And for those of you that have gotten that promotion, there's joy. So how you balance those two and how you mind balance those two, I think, are the quest of every person that's called a human. Now, we as Christians, however, can do that balance a little bit better than most people because of the fact that we have the spiritual side. And I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. If you have your Bibles, you feel free to pull them out and to go along with me on some of the scriptures, because that's what's beautiful about using scripture, is that you can take it with you. You can use it anytime, any place, for any circumstance. And you will find that you'll be encouraged by that. One of the things that I find in the Old Testament, especially in the Psalms, is that there's hope in the Psalms. In fact, in the Psalms, all but one has hope in it. And so that's why usually when I'm asked to go and sit with a loved one or someone's in pain or suffering, then I'll always go and turn to the Psalms and I'll read to them. And it doesn't make any difference whether they're awake or whether or not they're in a coma or whatever. I believe the Spirit of God speaks through His Word and will penetrate the spirit of that person. And I have found that has been true in my particular ministry. As most of you know, I'm a pastoral care minister as well as a person that's acquainted with death, because I worked at a funeral home part-time for 5 years. And I did that on purpose. I did that to learn more about how to help you when you have one that passes. I can meet you at the funeral home and work with you in regards to that, as well as I wanted to find out what other ministers and what other people were doing in regards to the messages and the care that they were giving families. And I learned so much from that, and it has helped me in ministry. But in Psalm 55, if you'd go to Psalm 55 with me, I'll show you how David expressed himself. And I love David because David had everything in the world happen to him, just as we do in our lives, but even more so. And so he would express himself openly before his God and also before us this morning. And just see if you can't feel how he's feeling at certain times in your life. But this particular psalm is when he was really down and out, and he had had some really hardships that had come his way. And so he says, Psalm 55, verse 6, "Oh, that I had the wings of a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and storm." And that's exactly how I think I feel at times when it just gets so heavy and the waters are too high and the clouds are too dark. And so I just want to escape somewhere, and I just want to go to a safe place. And so here David is expressing that he's had it up to here and he's ready to go and have peace. And so he needs a solution for that feeling and that frustration. And so he just simply lays that out. If you would now, I'd like for you to go to Matthew chapter 8. And I want to discuss a few miracles with you that occurred with Jesus and certain individuals. And it's a very powerful chapter that sometimes is overlooked because it happens to be in the middle of a lot of other miracles. But I thought I would just choose these three. In fact, the scriptures tell us that he actually provided many, many miracles. And so when the scriptures actually highlight these, then we want to pay a particular attention to it. And then also what you want to do is make sure that you don't just take certain pieces of chapter 8. You want to read the entire chapter. In fact, it wouldn't hurt you to read the 7 as well as 9. In fact, 5 through 7 talks about Christ and his ministry and why he was here. And it talks about that he preached as well as he healed. And so it's important that you read that. It's also important that you read that he also wants to use his disciples to also help him in the ministry of the preaching and of the healing. And so in chapter 8, if you would go there, and let's look at a few of those, and I'll go here quickly so we're not going to be here all morning. So starting with verse 1. Let's go to verse 28. Jesus had just gone through and done some wonderful sayings that you can use in your life, and that is, don't worry, ask, seek, and knock. It talks about the narrow and the wide gates. So it's a beautiful chapter in itself. But notice at verse 28, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, and not as the teachers of the law. And we're going to get into authority here in just a few moments. So let's go with chapter 8, verse 1. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him. And he said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, see that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now this is especially important because here Jesus is now dealing with a person who was an outcast, a person who was considered near death. Leprosy was one of the worst diseases you could possibly have, but it was also an isolating disease, meaning that you couldn't associate with anyone else. In fact, if there was a wall around the city, a leper could not enter into that particular city. So in this case, Jerusalem, he was not able to go into. And so he also, when he was confronted with someone walking by, he had to declare himself unclean. And so he would say, unclean, unclean. And so here you have Jesus now being confronted with this person. Now notice this person is coming to Jesus and asking him something, requesting something. And he's not just simply requesting something, it's something of which he has confidence that Jesus can do. I think that's a lesson for us. But notice what he says here, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. It wasn't a situation of where, Lord, can you? Lord, will you? Isn't that a difference? And so he was very confident in knowing that he was about to be touched by someone special. Now notice touch. You didn't touch a leper. And the reason why you didn't touch a leper is that you didn't want to come in contact to where you could actually get what they have. But also there was a curse associated with the leprosy. And so they didn't want that either. But here you have a person that no longer was isolated because he was standing in the presence of the Lord and he was with the Lord. And I tell that to people that are discussing with me how they feel isolated and how that they feel like they've been betrayed and how that they feel like that there's just no one that they can go to. And yet the Lord is right there, ready to help that person. So here we see that this person, by being touched by Christ, you see a reversal. And that's the way it is spiritually. And that's the way it is with Jesus and with God and with His Holy Spirit and with the angels. is that the opposite happens of what's supposed to happen. And that is, Jesus wasn't cursed. Jesus didn't get leprosy. And the opposite happened. The leper was cleansed. And the leper was able to walk away. Now notice when Jesus tells the man to not go and tell everybody about it, he says that to other people in the miracles that he does. And there's a good reason for that, and that is that he's not wanting to be proclaimed as a healer. He's the Savior of the world. And his mission is to save people, and not only heal them, but to save them from sin. Save them to where they have forgiveness and can then have eternal life. And so he's not interested in being a healer and being known as just a healer. He wants to be known more than that, and his message is one that is not physical, just physical, but it's eternal. Then we go to the next one, the faith of the centurion. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home, paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and west, and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown aside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, the centurion, he was a Gentile. And so here Jesus is now dealing with a non-Jewish person. And Matthew is probably, of all the Gospels, he's the most Jewish as far as his interpretation and his writing. But here he wants to tell a story of a Gentile coming to the Lord and asking for help. And notice, though, that the centurion is a distance away from the person that he's wanting to have Jesus help. And so here distance has nothing to do with it. Time has nothing to do with it. That's one of the beautiful things about the miracles and the parables of Jesus, is that it just takes over everything. Nothing is stopped. Our barrier is given in regards to what Jesus can do. And so here the centurion is coming to him, but notice what he says. You have the authority like I have the authority. He knew Jesus had the authority. And so he compared himself to his own situation, and that is he answered to the emperor. And as a result, he was able to have the authority based upon his relationship to the emperor. So whatever he said, people listened and people obeyed. I remember I did a mayor's delegation to Portland and Seattle. And in that delegation, we were told by the mayor to go and talk with these certain individuals. So we separated and we went and spoke. And it was a lot of fun because the places that I went, I immediately told them that I was here representing the mayor of Austin. And here's what I needed. And it was so nice to see them recognizing, you know, I was nothing, but I had the authority of the mayor in his delegation. Well, here the centurion has the authority of the emperor, and so he knew that Jesus had the authority from where? God. And so he knew that Jesus could do what he needed to have done. And we see that Jesus did that. The other wonderful piece about this, though, is that you and I are sitting here today because we're not Jewish. We're Gentiles. We're non-Jewish, but yet we've been accepted. And we are now part of the family of God. And that's a beautiful thing. In fact, he mentions that here. A lot of people miss this. But when he talks about that many will come from the east and west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, that's the Gentiles. They'll come from everywhere. If you go to Matthew 28, you'll see that go and baptize all nations. Go and baptize all nations, all people. God is for everyone. And then you have the next one, which has significance, I think, because it talks about the prophecies of the Old Testament of how Jesus was to come and was to be a person that dealt with our iniquities and our diseases. And so when Jesus came into Peter's house, this is verse 14. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand and fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. Now this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and he bore our diseases. That's Isaiah 53, verse 4. And if you go to Isaiah 53 and read that one, the suffering servant, what a wonderful chapter about how Jesus is coming and what he was going to do and what he would mean to the world. And so here you have several things. One, we found out how Peter was married. He had a mother-in-law. And evidently they must have gotten along because he wanted to get her healed and get the fever taken care of. But the other, we see that there were other people that came to him that were demon-possessed and that were healed from their sickness. But what's so wonderful about Jesus is that Jesus is not only here to help us physically, but he's also here, most importantly, to heal us spiritually. For as we see with all of these, we see that they all have a need. We see that that need was fulfilled with Jesus. And we see that we can do that today as well. You know, when you go back to Psalm 55, what you'll see is that David found the solution as we find the solution as believers. And that is, he proclaims in that beautiful, beautiful psalm what he was going to do about that problem that he was having and the despair that he was having. And I love David because he always instead of having despair, he always had prayer. And he'd always just openly talk to the Lord and lay it out. And so in this particular psalm, he does that. And so if you would go back to that psalm, and after he says he'd rather go to a place of shelter and hide himself, he realizes that I don't need to do that. He says in verse 16, "As for me, I call to God, and the Lord saves me, and he hears my voice." And then he says, and this is to you and me, "Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. But as for me, I trust in you." He trusts in God. And so I think as we learn with Jesus, who is God, that we have someone that is not only our shepherd, is not only our physician, he's our Savior, and someday we will be with him. He's with us now, but someday we will live with him without any pain, without any disease, without any suffering, with no tears. But right now, we've got to deal with humanity. And so each one of us has gone through and will go through death. We will go through suffering. We will go through disease. But we must know and be reminded, you know, Isaiah 43, verse 26, has a beautiful little verse, which Isaiah, God speaking through Isaiah, and he says, "But put me in remembrance," God now talking, "but put me in remembrance, and let's contend with one another." Isn't that beautiful? And by looking at what has happened in the past, by remembering how great our God is, then we can contend with God and say, "You know what? I need help. And I know you can give it to me." You know, when I sit with people, they sometimes will ask me, "Well, if I pray, or if you're going to pray for me, will God answer my prayer?" And I said, "Most certainly. God answers every prayer. God answers every prayer. But it's his will be done. Not your will, Not your timing. Not your solution. His solution. And it's so wonderful to know that we can go to him and we can pray to him and we can ask him. Somebody came up with a thing, and right now the world's in kind of a mess. And I know some of you may get real frustrated with what's going on in the world, even though we can't really do much about it other than pray. But there's some difficult things in the world right now, even in our country. But somebody came up with a thing that says, you know, if you want to have something that will cause you less stress each day, we'll come up with calm. C-A-L-M. And it's based on Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And so C stands for celebrate God's goodness. Just celebrate when you have going through tough times, celebrate God's goodness. And then the A is ask God for help. And then the L is leave your burdens on the Lord. You know, Jesus said, all you that are heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. And every now and then when I'm burdened, I'll just simply say, Lord, I want to enter into your rest. Take my yoke upon you. And then M, if you read that passage in Philippians, meditate on those things which are pure and honorable and good. So meditate on the good things. Isn't that a good one to have just to kind of calm you down? And when you have anxious thoughts or when you have anxiety, then have prayer thoughts. Just turn it into prayer and have prayer thoughts. I'll leave this message with you, and hopefully the Spirit will talk to you and let you take it and use it whenever you need it and in every circumstance that you need. If you have any needs, then please at this time come forward and we'll pray for you, or we'll pray for others, or whatever your need may be. Let's stand now as we sing together.